What's going on? Facebook Live, YouTube, what's happening? Jay Randall back in the house. Woo!
Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Glad to have you back, brother. Good to see you back in the hot seat again. So we got Nicholas Beltran up in the house. What's up, brother? Hope you are well as well. Well as well.
Well as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's good English.
Yeah, you know, getting it done. Couple announcements on the docket this evening. Next event, as you can see, is at the Coldwater Chain in Michigan. Our guest is from Michigan tonight.
Is he?
I think so.
Man, I don't know about that state.
Michigan. everything on Tourney X has been updated, so get signed up. Get signed up. Registration's heating up. Got some cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time over there, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Lots of fishies in that water.
Jay's excited. He looked up. There's pike in the lakes.
Yep.
So he's excited. He's ready to go.
So that's what I'll be doing.
He's packing his bags tonight. He might be there before we head there. So, also on the docket, something that we wanted to announce and promote. Support Shannon Williams. All right, Jay. Am I putting it on the screen or are you? Come on now.
Sorry, I'm the new guy.
There's a benefit bass tournament through Top Water Series, which, the event on Coldwater Chain is in conjunction with. They're doing a benefit. Shannon was just diagnosed with cancer. So, I mean, even if you can't fish it, get signed up. I'll have Jay drop the link to that down in the comments. Actually, you already did that, right? You sent that to me?
Yeah, I put it in
the comments. I will put that in the comments. Get signed up. Support Shannon. She was a former teammate, right?
Yeah. We were on Jackson together. She is the girlfriend of Jeremy Crow as well. So if anybody knows him, you probably know about this as well. But she's a stick. She's good at what she does. She fished on the in Panama. I can't remember the team.
Oh, Team USA.
Yeah, was it Team USA? Oh, I thought it was
that, like, wasn't in Panama though. I thought that was Tennessee.
Was it? Oh, that was Tennessee. I'm all mixed up. But anyway, she's really cool, really cool, and I don't know, she's a good positive force in the in the industry, and so just look out for her. And like Brian said, even if you're not going to fish the tournament, just, throw a couple bucks over there. They can definitely use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Any little bit helps.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And we'll actually have her on next week.
Oh, that is confirmed?
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Okay.
So we'll have Shannon on next week and we'll talk more. We'll talk a little bit about this, but we're going to talk about her just in general, just about fishing and everything and all our adventures up there in Michigan.
Nice. Nice. I like it. Releasing details the week before.
Yep.
We should get used to that. We should do that more often.
I guess don't get used to it.
We're the slackers. Did we have anything else? Anything else on the docket before we get rolling?
No, besides, we got a epic guest.
We do.
he's about as epic as they get.
Let's get him in here. Mr. Mike McKinstry in the house. The Basquatch hunter himself, straight from Michigan. The streets of Detroit.
No, the guy behind you.
Yeah, take it easy. You lost me at Epic.
Yeah. Believe me, that took a lot to say.
Oh, man. Welcome back, up, brother.
Guys? What's up, man?
Welcome back to my living room.
I mean, living room, studio.
Jay's been in my living room, I guess. Brian's only been in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you guys did.
It was a special night.
I'm actually sitting right where he was sleeping.
This is true. Actually, it kind of slipped everywhere on there, so it's all good.
JD in the house. What's up, brothers? Hope you're doing well. Hope you are doing well as well, my friend. Well as well.
I wanted to say something about, I probably jumped with a gun. I'll just wait.
No, go ahead.
No, Mike, it's your show.
Well, you mentioned the Shannon event, and I just wanted yes. everybody to know that I did sign up for it. I'm not gonna be able to enter any fish in it or anything, but I did sign up for it. So hold on, I have a dog trying to play with me over here. Hold on, get over there.
Mike, so, we're trying to run a professional thing here, buddy. Come on,
dude.
Come on.
I have three dogs around me right now, and it's dead silent in this room, so they're just like going nuts. Yeah, so I signed up for the event. I'm not going to be able to fish in it or enter fish in it at all, but I want to encourage everybody to donate the $45 entry fee.
Dude, Mike's
like,
house is
you know what's funny? Apart. He's like, you know, was that squirrel? You know, take the kind of day this to me.
Dude, I have so much going on. I have three dogs in my house. I have my best friend Mike over here is working in the music area over there in the studio. So there's just like, I have the worst squirrel syndrome in the world as it is. So like anytime the distraction, I'm like, what? Yeah.
It's like just straight ahead, buddy. Straight ahead.
Yeah. Just.
Oh, that's funny, man. Well, welcome back, brother. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, man. I love being on this podcast, man. It's always a good time. It's always fun.
Well, you had some exciting stuff go down this week for sure. 2 million viewers on your TV show.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. Congrats, brother.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's absolutely nuts. We actually hit it the first week of April, but we didn't get the results for the ratings until like a couple days ago. So we didn't know when we hit 2 million, but we knew it would be within pretty quick because we were at 1.92 before that. So, but yeah, it's a huge milestone, man. But it's kind of like I said the other day too, it's kind of like in the old Sonic the Hedgehog game, like when you're like flying and you hit like a speed ramp and you fly forward and then you start slowing down and you fly forward again. And this is just another launch pad for me to fly forward. And we're just looking forward to hitting, you know, 2 million is cool, but 3 million is cooler. So we're just waiting for the next one.
3 million is cooler.
I mean,
yeah,
it's true.
I'd rather have 3 million.
It is a greater number.
Good. So proud of Jay. Tomorrow we'll like do numbers and colors.
I know.
It's official. Jay passed the first grade.
Yeah. Yes. Well, didn't we learn? Okay.
He's like, it took two tries, but.
Yeah. Hey, you guys can make fun all you want. When you got to sit down with kids these days and then help them with their math, I don't know where that all went.
Yeah, right.
But it's gone. Like, it's first gone.
First grade is the best 3 years of Jay's life.
Yeah. I'm like, can we just break this down into pluses and all those other squiggly lines and just go with geez. That?
Oh, geez. Nicholas Beltran says, congrats, Mike. JD DeRozier said, congrats, Mad Mike. Super stoked for you. It's awesome, thank man.
You,
JD. It's,
thank you, Nick.
I know it's been a lot of work. So you got 2 million views. Do you got $2 million in the bank now, too?
Actually, that's exactly how it works. I get a dollar for every viewer, so I'm actually a millionaire. I just didn't want to tell anybody that. Yeah, dude, if that ever becomes he's a thing, doger. Like, if that's how it works, like that'd be amazing. I think it's the opposite because for some reason, like the bigger my show gets, the broker I get. So I still haven't figured out how it works yet.
Hey, you never know, like, man. There's, you know, once they institute that social credit, you know, it's, you'll be on there, man. You'll be rich.
Yeah, I guess I don't conform to what their social credits would be. I guess so.
Yeah, they'd be like finding ways to dock you.
Yeah, dude, a white Jewish kid from Detroit. I don't think I'm on top of the list.
Oh man, that's great. That's great. Well, I was actually catching up on your episodes the past couple of days, man. And you know,
did you watch the new ones? Did you watch the new from this year, the seaplane and the duck hunting?
I watched both. I watched both.
So you're the two views, yes.
Oh, you got two views, not 2 million.
I had it queued.
Yeah.
It's now 2 million and 2. 2 million and 2.
Yeah, man. It was good stuff. I really dug the seaplane one, man. I know you were super excited about that the last time we had you on, and you know, it was super cool to watch, and you know, it was funny because I was thinking it, and then you stated it in the episode. You were like, I was a little nervous about being in this little seaplane and landing on water and stuff. And I'm like, man, I wonder what that's like. It's got to be kind of sketchy. You know what I mean?
Well, because whenever I do a new adventure with a show, like, you know, like when I did the NASCAR racing thing, I was doing a crap load of research on NASCAR and like racing techniques. So I could just try to like, I don't like being the dumbest person in the room ever. And plenty of time, majority of my life, I'm not the smartest man in the room either. So I try to be at least educated so I can fit in the room. So I want to at least like understand jargon and stuff. So the seaplane thing, I'm like doing research and Google searching. Everything that you Google search for seaplanes comes up with crashes. And I was like, so I called the guy up and I was like, hey man, so I see all these seaplane things where they hit the water, they just start flipping end over end because they hit the skis wrong. He goes, oh yeah, yeah. I'm like, what do you mean, oh yeah? And he goes, yeah, he's like, yeah, that could happen. And I'm like, but that's not gonna happen, right? Like that's but hold on. He goes, no, dude, I've been doing this for a long time. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. Like, how long have you been flying seaplanes? He goes, this is like my second or third year. And I was like, oh, it's not a long time, man. Like I have underwear from that's long older than 2 years, you know? I'm like, it's not that long, man. And then he like laughed about it. He goes, yeah, he goes, between the two of us, we've been flying for like 40 years. Like, don't worry about it. So I was scared at first, and then I got calm. And then once I got in the seaplane, like, if you guys haven't seen the episode that are listening to this, you got to see the episode because you don't realize, like, I'm not a big dude. So the back of this plane is about this wide. Like it's a 1947 Piper seaplane. So it's like post-war era. Like it's all fabric. Like there's no metal sheets on this plane at all. It's just a frame with fabric and paint. And it like touches my shoulders in the back, like a tapered back. So I'm sitting like this. The pilot is like 6'6", big, like big dude. Like it looks like Donkey Kong on a go-kart in this thing. Like he's huge. Like he fills up the whole area in front of the plane. So I can't see around him, above him. I'm just staring at his back right here. And I'm like, once I get in the plane, then it started all over again. I was like, okay, now I'm scared again. Like now I can't even see in front of me. So I'm like, hey man, I'm getting sweaty because I'm getting nervous. I'm like, hey, can we like open this like a window? He pushes the door open because there's no window in a plane. Like the door just opens. And I'm like, holy crap, don't do that. I see movies. Like I'm going to get sucked out. He goes, dude, the thing goes 70 miles an hour. He goes, it's like rolling your window down in the car. So I was like, okay, so here we are taking off on the water with the doors open. Like it was super scary for the first, like, I don't know, 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes kicked in, I was like, this is probably the coolest thing I've ever done. Like being in a tiny little plane in the sky and going down over the lakes and landing on the water. I mean, it was so peaceful and like you could hear the water. Like, you know how like in a kayak or in a boat, you can hear the water, like the waves like slapping the bottom.
Yeah.
So when you're landing, that's all you hear is like slapping the bottom of the skis into the plane. And it was just such a cool experience, man. I will say this though. It's the hardest thing I've ever fished off of because when that thing starts drifting, like you need to stay in the main part of a lake. So you have room to start the prop because the only way you can move a plane is to start the prop and move at its own power. So we were fishing for like 5 minutes, 10 at a time, then powering it up. And I was holding on like a stuntman while he goes forward. And, you know, the wind was like 400 mile an hour wind, it felt like, at my face, and I'm just holding on. And we move like 20 feet back to the main of our lake. I throw, like, it's like fishing on a kayak in the wind with no pedal drive or anything, where you're just like, you cast and then you drift back like 100 feet by the time you retrieve. So it was super hard to fish off of. That's why we only caught one fish, because as soon as we got one fish, we're like, we're done, like, no more, we're done. Like, let's get back to the plane. Like, but I'm going to be doing another episode of Seaplanes this year, I hope. The pilots loved it, and they were super on board with it, too. You guys got to leave me alone. Cut it out, dogs. And they're both, like, scratching up by my legs right now, trying to get attention. Liberty, stop it. So we're going to do another episode, though, with the planes, though, and I'm super pumped about it.
Heck yeah, man. Duke's asking, is that a stash that Jay is rocking, or is it just a shadow?
We're going to call this the COVID monstrosity.
He's trying to rock his stash, yeah, dude.
I even got this little...
I think it's dirt.
Yeah, it's dirt. I even got this little... It's a little patch here. Everyone's telling me to shave it. Look like a douchebag. I've gotten it from family members.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, all right, well...
So no different from when you don't have facial hair, right?
It's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I can't wait to see you again, Mike.
Oh, boy. Oh boy!
Are we starting this part of the conversation already? It's pretty early.
I know, right? It's like, you know, the show's, you know,
every show with you two, like, you know, it gets a little awkward. I'm just saying.
Brian starts going off screen. It's just
like, I'm like wondering if I should leave the room during this part of the conversation.
No, buddy, you should stay.
I don't know. I don't want to join your guys' circle.
Oh, do we?
But
it's like our thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Mike. What else is new with you, Mike? Jesus Christ.
So,
yeah.
Oh, this is a first.
Way to make it weird.
Don't blame me for making it weird. It's always weird.
Oh man. Well, the duck hunting episode turned out pretty cool too. You know, that was your second time doing the duck hunting from the kayaks, right?
Yeah, it was actually the third time. The first one we didn't make an episode of. The first, last year we did an episode with the same guy, with my buddy Curtis, and we had a great time last year too. But this year we actually got this year I say it was my first time actually getting a duck in the kayak, because last year it was so sketchy. It was like such a weird, like I had no idea what I was doing. Like it was so new, where it wasn't really a success in my opinion. This year, I got really, really lucky, and we had a beautiful duck fly like 30 miles an hour, like eye level and just above the decoys. So I got lucky and had a one shot duck. And then we had geese land and decoys right in front of us too. So, this year, like, I think it was the best trip I've done so far, but it was the second time we did it. But it was a great time, man. That was duck hunting in the kayaks, I think, is one of the coolest things, because it kind of combines the passion of kayaking and being in the water and being close to nature and be able to be stealthy, with my love for, you know, being able to hunt and shoot and stuff too. So it's a really cool episode.
Yeah, man. I was fortunate enough to get out a couple times last season, you know, duck hunting out of the kayak, man. It was definitely unique, a little different setup than what you guys were doing. You know, we were going out in marshes and, you know, backing into the reeds, you know, overlooking the decoys and stuff. And I'm looking forward to this fall, man, getting out and doing that again. Super cool.
Well, that's what we did last year. Last year we backed into the marsh, and we were in a pond area last year, and it worked really well. But this year we wanted to go bigger, so we went to Lake St. Clair this year. And yeah, if you know, as you can see in the episode, the waves were like insane. They were calling for like very little wind that day. Then of course, when we get to St. Clair is like its own ecosystem. So there was no wind the whole way there. As soon as we get to the shoreline, it was just white cap. We're like, oh, well, we ain't launching out here. So we actually moved from where we originally planned to a new spot. And we didn't know if we were going to see any birds that day, but we got lucky. Saw a couple. We shot at probably two out of range. And then we had a diver come in that we sprayed. We couldn't get to him, and we tried going out in our kayaks to go get him, and he was just gone. So we saw more ducks than we shot, obviously, but it was still a good time. I mean, it was a great adventure, and it was a really cool episode. The episode came together really well.
Yeah, I dug it, man. What were your thoughts, Jay? Jay didn't watch.
It was pretty neat. No, I've seen it.
Jay's like, he's got a show. What is?
Yeah. I was like, he looks familiar. I mean, I haven't gone yet, so I'm really looking forward to this year to be able to do it. Finally ready to do it. But Yeah, I watched the episode.
Really? What happened in 6 minutes and 24 seconds? I'm joking.
I don't know.
I'm like, well, I have a quiz prepared for you.
let me just say, I love your technique of hopping up and shooting.
It wasn't very incognito.
Yeah, I didn't see the video, Mike. Yeah, I saw that fucking video. Oh, I let it.
So, you're gonna have to censor Jay.
I'm gonna ignore the cursing, because I'm still on the part where you just told another man that you love the way he popped up and shoots.
Yep, that's me. I'm so confused.
Well, yeah. Before this goes down that road again, at the end of that episode, you gave away a kayak, which was super cool. And that's something like you're super awesome about, you know, your whole pay it forward thing. And you do so much outside of the kayak fishing community and for your local community, which is super awesome, man. But you know, you had given that kayak away to a firefighter, which was awesome. I thought it was cool that he got picked. And then not only that, like, you got his girlfriend in on the situation.
Dude, his girlfriend's parents were in on it, which I didn't know. But the two people in that video that were standing on the sidewalk filming with their phones. I didn't know at the time, but that was his girlfriend's parents that lived next door. So when I got there, so we did a random name generator for the final three people that we got down to. because we couldn't decide. Like, there was no, like, I wish I had 10 kayaks to give away for that giveaway, because everyone that entered deserved a kayak, in my opinion. But we only had one to give away, so we did a random name generator. When it picked on him, I was like, oh, perfect. You know, he's a Detroit fireman. Like, he's into fishing. This will be awesome. So I set it up with his girlfriend for like 2 weeks behind the scenes kind of thing. And I was like, all right, so when you got to wake him up, I'm going to disguise myself as a delivery person, because she ordered furniture that was supposed to be due that day anyway. And I'm like, make this work. So she was filming with her phone. So it's like all the footage just as like girlfriend hitting camera or whatever. That was her phone that she was like secretly holding and filming the whole time. And she was getting them to the door and stuff. Well, I know that her parents were outside. They moved the garbage cans out of the way, everything out of the way, so I could park right where I needed to. And like, they were totally on in the whole thing. And when he came out, he just woke up because he worked midnight shift that night, which worked even better because he didn't catch all the things that I screwed up on, like having a kayak sitting on a stand with moving blankets over it. Like, if he was wide awake and alert, he would have been like, something's weird about that.
Sure.
And he would have recognized me because he watches my videos. So I got really lucky that he was kind of groggy. But yeah, it was one of the better surprises, I think, that I've done, just because he was so unexpected. Like, even when he saw a kayak with a blanket over it, like, most people would know it was a kayak because, like, the shape of it and everything. He still was like, oh, it's a bookcase. Like, he thought it was like a bookshelf or something. Like, he had no idea. So when the blanket came off and he gave that look to the camera, like, that was like one of my favorite like giveaways, because he like did a spin around of the camera, like, what? Like, it was so cool. But yeah, he's a great dude, man. I still haven't gone fishing with him yet, but I need to go out fishing with him and get him on the water. But yeah, that was great. I'm so happy I got to include that in the episode too, because, you know, a lot of people have seen that. And I've gotten a lot of messages from people who were, you know, really touched by it, and they were kind of inspired. They're like, man, we want to do something now too. Like, I want to help out. And I actually got a message from a guy who went to his local firehouse. I think it's called fire station, and brought them all lunch one day and stuff, and messaged me about it too. And I was like, dude, that's exactly the point of me doing those, that one person, it's all it takes, can be inspired to go do something cool or do something to change someone's life or make a positive impact. It feels good to do it. So, you know, it was super cool.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, you gave away another kayak just recently too. I mean, that was a whole story I was kind of following on your social media as well. You know, you went out to fish and ran into a dude, his kayak started sinking, and you guys had to kind of tow him back in, and his boat ended up sinking like right at the ramp or something, right? And then
yeah, that was nuts too. That wasn't planned at all. Like, the other kayak giveaway was a planned giveaway. We posted it on social media. We had to enter. Like, you know, it was a totally different situation. This one is like the most random. Like, I still talk about it with Darius. The guy's name is Darius that I helped out. We still make jokes about it because it's like everything had to work so perfectly for that to happen. And he might not even be here today if that all didn't work perfectly. And like, we were running late that day, which my camera guy is never late. Like, he's so punctual. He's like, he keeps me on track because he's so punctual. And that day he called me and said, hey, I'm running behind. That cool. Like, is it cool if I show up 40 minutes late? Like, yeah, that's fine. We're having kind of like we're only filming for YouTube. We weren't filming for the show. So we were just filming a YouTube review of a kayak. So I was like, it's no big hurry. Like, we have all day. Like, we don't have to catch fish or anything. We're just doing a video about the kayak. So we get there 40 minutes late. We pull up to the launch. And as I'm opening my trailer up, I see a SUV pull in with a kayak on top. And whenever I see that, I was like, hey, my people, like, I'm going to talk to someone about kayak fishing. Like, is this cool? So we were talking about fishing and like asked if he's ever been on the lake before. And he's like, yeah, I come out here a lot. And I was like, cool. Do you know about the island out here or these little spots? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't know about that spot. I was like, dude, hang out with us. We're not filming anything serious today. Just want to hang out and follow us around a little bit. I'll show you my spots. It's my home lake. It's the lake that me and you went on, Jay, for the Pike episode. So I know the lake really well. So I was like, hey, follow us around. He goes, that'd be great. And he wasn't wearing a life jacket. And when he launched, and I was like, hey, man, I hate to be that guy, but at the same time, like, I'll be that guy. I was like, hey, man, I got a spare life jacket. Like, we would throw it on real quick, just to make sure, like, if the water's hypothermic temperatures, I don't want to be responsible for trying to catch you in the water, because I don't want to be in the water either. And he laughed about it, which is super cool. And that showed me his character right then. He wasn't like complaining that I said something about not wearing a life jacket. He laughed about it. He's like, yeah, man, I love that, man. I don't have a good life jacket. So I threw my life jacket and then we went our own ways. That was the crazy part. So like, all these things had to happen like perfectly for us to meet at a launch and then give him a life jacket, all these things like that. So he goes his own way this way. We go this way and start filming for a little while. And then my camera guy was like, hey, let's go meet up with him on that side. He's over on the middle of the lake, like the deepest part of the lake. Let's go meet up with Darius and see how he's doing. And we'll go start, you know, casting. And I need some more shots of the kayak. I'm like, all right, cool. So we, as soon as we meet up with him, it's actually, we got it on camera, which is super crazy how it accidentally happened. My camera guy was filming me pedaling the kayak. And I looked over at Darius and said, hey man, your kayak looks really low. Like the back of it was almost underwater. He's like, yeah, I got a bunch of gear back there. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like, he had a crate. Like it's not a bunch of gear. I was like, no, but yeah. Like I know kayaks enough to know that that's not normal. So I'm like, hey, like there's a shoreline right up here. Let's go up to the beach up there. Like, you know, I don't know who lives there, but I know a lot of people on the lake, so I'm sure it'll be fine. Pull up on this guy's beach and just, let's just make sure your kayak's okay. I'm like, do you have your drink plug in? And he goes, I think so. I'm like, if you say think, then let's get out the water. Like right. You should, drain plug should be like 100% yes. So we go to the shore, we drag his kayak up. It's the whole thing's full of water. There's a hole like that long underneath the bottom, and he has no drain plug on the top of the kayak either. So I was like, oh dude, I'm like, this is not good. So we take a bunch of his gear and put it on my camera guy's kayak. He had, I didn't have the motor on my kayak that day because I was doing a review on a new kayak. So I was in my Dorado with a motor. My camera guy has the Old Town with a motor. So I was like, hey, dude, just tie a rope to his kayak and let's just tow you in as fast as possible. And you can borrow one of my kayaks and come back out and fish with us. So he's like, all right, cool, man. So they launch first, or they take off first. And I go on Facebook Live because I thought it was a good opportunity to share with everyone live on Facebook. Like, hey, this is why you do a pre-launch inspection. Make sure you have your drain plug. This is why you wear a life jacket. Like, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to show people in a real life situation. Like, this sure. is why we all preach these things, because this is what could happen. But little did I know, while I'm filming this on Facebook, they're going closer to shore and I see him disappear. Like, his kayak just disappears. And then he starts rocking side to side. And I was like, oh, he's going over. And then, so the launch goes like this. That's like a 30-foot drop off. He ended up falling over in like 3.5 feet of water. That's how close he was to the shore. So like any further back, he would have been in 30 foot of water, hypothermic water. And it would have been, he would have lost all of his gear. It would have been terrible. He ended up losing zero gear because the water was so shallow. We got everything back. We pulled his kayak up and I told him right away. I was like, hey man, I'll fix your kayak for you. I have a plastic welder. I have steel mesh at home. I'll fix your kayak for you. Like, you know, do you live local? Can I bring it back to you? Or, you know, what do you think? Hold on. I'm doing an interview just so you know. So just want to let you know. I forgot. Maddie came home.
We're going to get a photo bomb. We're going to get a photo bomb in a minute.
Angel. So it's okay. She'll say hi real quick. I took his kayak home, which I thought was super cool. Like, one, he was cool enough to take a life jacket. He wasn't like complaining. I was being a stickler about it. He was super nice and he was making jokes about it right away. Two, he agreed to fish with us and hang out with us, like two strangers he's never met. And then three, he was like, dude, yeah, take my kayak. I trust you. Like, take my kayak home and I'll let you fix it. And like, he didn't have any questions about it, which was super trusting. So I got like an immediate, really good vibe from the guy. And I was like, dude, this guy's passionate about fishing. While I was pulling his kayak out of the water, he was already getting a change of clothes out of his car so he can go back out and my guy can go fishing. Like, he was, that's all he cared about. He didn't care that his kayak just sank. He didn't care that he almost just could have drowned in the water. Like, none of that mattered to him. All he cared about was, hey, can we go back out of the water? So right away I was like, man, we got to do something. Like, something, we got to do something. Like, I think every good person deserves a break. Like, life is hard. You know, everyone has their own struggles and battles every day. And you never know when someone's at the tipping point, or, you know, maybe he's never had a break in his life. But I'm like, I might have an opportunity to remind you that, like, being a good guy pays off. Like, let me see what I can do. So right then and there, I started sending emails right away to Summit Sports out here. It's a local dealer again, and to Seastream Kayaks. And I was like, hey, man, is there anything we can do? Like, I'll throw in a couple $100. Like, I just got a stimulus check just came in. I'm like, I don't need it as bad as other people do. So I can spend, you know, half of it at least on a kayak or something. Like, what can we do? And those brands were cool enough, between Summit Sports and Seastream, they covered it on their own. They both went halves on it together, and they're like, we're gonna shoot a brand new pedal drive kayak and a new life jacket from NRS. So NRS sent out a new life jacket for them, so I got mine back. And then Seastream gave them a new pedal drive kayak, and we surprised him with it, which will be in the episode next month. It's going to air next month, the episode with him. We took him out fishing in his new kayak and stuff and caught some monster bass too. But yeah, it was such a cool experience. And then ABC News shared the video, the YouTube video I did about it, because it promoted safety. And I thought it was a really good reminder to let people know, like, always check your hack before you launch. Like, I do it every time religiously. I always grab the drain plug and do a quarter turn just to make sure it's tight. I always try the bolts in my seat, the pedal drive and the prop. And my reels, I do the same thing, make sure the handles are tight. Like, I just do a pre-launch check, because when you're on the water, as much as I am, especially, like, you know when something goes wrong, you're in a kayak. You can't just fly back shore and fix something or repair something. Like, you're on the water and a problem happens, you got to deal with it somehow right then and there. So that experience, I think, was one of the coolest things that taught me to always make sure I double check my stuff too, and always to kind of be aware of your surroundings and other fishermen around you at all times too, just to make sure everyone's good. Yeah. Cedar, stop it, buddy.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
But yeah, it was a super cool story though. I really like it wasn't intended to be a kayak giveaway, obviously. Like, I didn't plan on doing it that day. In all honesty, as happy as I am that I got a new kayak and that we could help them, I wish that situation never happened, because it was super scary, and like, yeah, it could have definitely gone the other way. You know, he got two kids, and you know, he could have not gone home to his kids that day. And it's just, that's the part that's like, me and my camera guy both are still like, we still talk about it. We're like, dude, that's so, like, what if we weren't there? Like, like, how bad? The water temperature was 48 degrees that day. Like,
That's scary. That could have been brutal, man.
It's like, well, and then it's funny because you always hear like the naysayers, and I know you're out there, guys, listening, but it's like, you know, Mike has seen that. I mean, like, that situation, if he wasn't there, that guy definitely wouldn't have went in, and who knows what would have happened then. You know, I saw a friend go over that's very accustomed to being on a kayak, you know, in very frigid conditions, but we had dry suits on, but still, like, you can flip in an instant. If you don't have that, you don't have that jacket on you, you ain't getting to it.
I just read his something kayak today.
His kayak would have been like an anchor sank, and he couldn't hold on to it, and he would have had no life jacket. And then what is it, like 2 minutes or 4 minutes or something that you in hypothermic water?
I think you get 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Yeah.
So it's like, how long would he? He wouldn't have been able to swim to shore. There's no way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just. And he didn't even think about it. Like, he never mentioned any of this stuff. A couple of days later, I remember I called him up and I was like, hey man, like, I don't know you that well or anything, but like, do you understand what we went through? I was like freaking out about it for like a good week. I was just like, man, that was scary. Like, I'm glad and grateful. Like, I don't know how fate worked that we happened to be there, but I wish that never happened, because now it scares me so bad. Like, what if I wasn't there? And now, like, I'm a lot more alert of other fishermen around me. Like, anytime I see another fisherman on the water in a kayak, I'm always kind of like second guessing it now. Like, hey, does this kayak look like it's floating right? Like, you know, and if they're not wearing life jackets, I get like really uncomfortable, because I don't want to go up to a stranger and be like, hey dude, do you want to wear a life jacket? I got a spare. Like, I feel weird all the time, because a lot of people get offended. A lot of people get really offended by that. But it's like, after seeing that and being in that situation, I'm just like, man, like, I don't want to like see this guy. And then like the next day on the news, I hear someone drowned because they didn't have a life jacket. It's like, I could have helped them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a really crazy situation. But now, you know, me and Darius are, I'm happy to call that dude a friend now. I mean, we've fished together a couple times now, and I took his family out to dinner and met his kids, and you know, he's a super great dude. And out of all of it, I think we all learned a lot from it and from the whole experience. But at the end of the day, like, I got a new friend. And so did he, and got to meet a really cool person that loves fishing, almost more than I do. I mean, that dude fishes more than I do. He fishes. He brings a fishing rod in his work truck, and he installs satellites for a living. And if he meets a customer on a private lake and they're talking about fishing and stuff, they usually let him just fish in their backyard if he's off work for the day, or he'll come back after work. So he fishes like in all these cool, like, awesome spots off the shore all the time in his work clothes and stuff. It's hilarious. Like, that dude is so passionate.
That's super cool. Well, I got something pulled up here, man. Let's share this. It was when you were surprising him with the kayak. Let's let this roll real quick.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's clean. I actually like that, like you said. Yeah, it kind of gives it some.
So this is at Summit Sports, and this is when he saw the repair. He thought he was just getting his kayak back.
Well, pretty hard here and angle here. Okay. So now we built the plastic up, patched up. So
that's airtight, dude. She's seaworthy. You can tell, yeah, a lot of dragging.
Yeah, yeah. The thing's got some abuse, man. You've definitely put.
So I made up something here because I had to find a reason to get him.
Oh yeah,
to go in the store
for sure.
So I made up this part coming up here.
Okay, I appreciate you again, man.
No problem. Definitely. Let me go grab. Actually, I have a. Do you have straps?
Yeah, I got some straps.
Do you have a pad for the top too?
Say that one more time.
Do you have like a pad for your luggage rack?
Oh, it's at home actually.
Like see right there. I made up. I made up pad for your roof rack.
Yeah, I got straps. Right there.
Okay.
Yeah, here,
Totally.
Here, just follow us in over here.
Yeah, normally, I have like two little pads. So I put one in the front, one in the back. You talking about that?
Yeah, it's like a little pad that goes on the bar.
Yeah.
wink.
Yeah, I was so nervous about this part. I'm like, I'm lying to this dude. I'm such a bad liar. I'm terrible at it. So I'm like,
yeah.
I had to try to find a way to get him over here.
Your fishing season will get better.
And the factor is able to walk up to a store and bang on a garage door. Ghost starts going up.
Yeah.
Fonzie over here.
Shut the hell up, dude.
So here's your new kayak.
Stop it, dude.
And here's your brand new PFD.
That's awesome.
Oh, that was in such a bad mood, dude. That is awesome.
His son accidentally broke his fishing rod on the way there. So.
Oh, no.
And then you got the NRS Chinook Life.
And he got a new fishing rod. I gave him $100.
Dude, I appreciate it. That's awesome, man.
That's what it's all about, brother.
Dude, I love that part, dude. Thank you for showing that, man. I love that part of that video.
It heck yeah. Dude, yeah, for sure. Especially, I know when I first saw it, man, and he was like, man, I was having such a bad day. And
yeah, dude, that part got me. When he said that, dude, I got choked up because I'm like, wait till you see this.
No, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome, man. Kudos to you, dude. Huge, man. It seems like you always find yourself in a situation where you're helping somebody out that really needs it, dude.
I think that's our job, though. You know, I think when we get a platform, I think, you know, I wish every person who had a platform felt that way. Like a lot of like big celebrities that have a lot of pull, like a big platform. I think they use it the wrong way a lot of times. Like they use it for political reasons. They'll use it for, you know, a lot of personal gain. But you know, if people, I have a small platform, you know, like I'm not a celebrity by any means, and but I have a platform. And anytime I see an opportunity where I'm like, my platform might be able to help that person. I mean, there's a lot of things that I do, obviously, that I don't film or don't share. And there's been quite a few times where I'll see something on Facebook where, you know, someone posts something and then they get bashed on social media because of it. And I'm like, that's not cool. I'm going to go in and try to make this, like, I'm going to make this dude who's getting picked on be the cool dude. And I'm going to see what I can do to help him. And I helped a guy out last year, maybe it was earlier this year. And he just posted a video. I haven't heard from him since I helped him out. Like we just kind of parted ways and it was that. Like I don't even know what state he lives in, to be honest with you. He lives down south somewhere. But he made a post on the Feel Free Lure group, the lure owners group, where he fabricated like this like metal bracket for a motor. And it's like this, it was like really like, I don't want to say a negative way, but it was gaudy. Like it was just steel and welded. Like it was really rough, like a really crude build. And it just started this thread of people like ripping on him. Like, and like an older guy, like he's a grandfather. And you know, he's super low income. I think he's on disability and he was just trying to make his kayak better. You know, he just wanted to, like, we all DIY stuff. Like he just wanted to have more fun. Like, but people were just like ripping this dude apart, saying how it's a hunk of junk and how it looks terrible. And it was too heavy and the kayak was going to sink and you should just buy one and, you know, make a real kayak people were just bad. And this dude's defending himself over and over, like being super good about it. And I just randomly scrolled across it one day and I was like, you know what, let me see what I can do, because this is BS, man. Like, I don't like bullying. I went through bullying most of my life and I'm like, I don't like this stuff. It isn't going to work. I made calls to brands that I don't even work with that I've never even heard of at the time, to be honest with you. And I got him, I didn't get him. Someone else worked together on it, obviously. I just made some phone calls and emails, but he ended up getting a brand new kayak motor mount and a electric motor from Electric Kayak Company. And he got a brand new lithium battery from Amped Outdoors. And he got a steering controls, everything all sent to him. So he had
That's awesome.
Dude, the setup he got is insane. And you know, all the dude did was an awesome apology or awesome thank you, and that's all I like. That's all I told him, like, dude, you don't owe me anything. It was nothing. It was just one of those things where you were getting picked on for something that you shouldn't have got picked on for, and I want everyone else to see how cool you are now. Like,
yeah,
and all right. It takes. And it's like stuff like that. Like, that's how your platform should be used. You know, like,
absolutely.
You know, these brands that helped out in that situation, they weren't going to gain anything from this guy. Like, he doesn't have a social media platform. He doesn't have a following. They weren't going to make any money off of this. This was like a pure charity donation. They weren't going to make any revenue on it. I wasn't going to make a video about it. There was no publicity behind it. Same thing with Darius, with this guy. You know, I only filmed it because Darius said he wanted to be in a video with me, and that'd be cool. I'm like, you know what? We're going to film a video together, but we're going to film you getting a new kayak first. Like, but he didn't know that part. So I was going to make a video of him getting his kayak fixed and repaired until we found out that we could make the kayak work. But the brands like Sunports and SeaStream Kayaks, they're the ones that did, you know, they were the heroes in that situation, because without them, you know, I would have had to find a way to come up with money to do it. And I couldn't afford to do it myself that way. I would have had to get them something cheaper, obviously. So, you know, it's not me being like the hero in any of these situations. It's just me using my platform to put the dots together. I have some great brands that I work with and that are in the industry that I don't work with that I know are awesome people. And they're great anglers and fans and friends in the community. So it's just using your platform is all it is. And that's what I love doing the most is, you know, if you've seen my episodes, like Jay's obviously seen them, he's in one of them. And Brian, I know you've seen a lot of my episodes. I try to put as many pay it forward things that I can in them to inspire others to keep on doing the same thing and to share with people like, hey, this is how easy it is. Like handing out gift cards at Walmart to buy people's groceries, even though they're like, you know, $30 gift cards, it changes their life. Like, because they might have been in a bad mood that day, or, you know, they could have got a divorce that day, or they could have got fired that day, or they couldn't afford their groceries that day, or they could be perfectly well off and they just needed a reassurance that there's good people in the world. And things like that, dude, I mean, it's like, you know, I know I'm like a broken record saying this because I say it all the time, but I've had so many times in my life where I've been in this like crazy dark depression that I didn't think I was going to get out of. And a simple message, this happened the other day. I was in a really like a weird mental spot, and, you know, I suffer from terrible anxiety and depression. So I get these like weird roller coaster moods sometimes. And I was telling my girlfriend Maddie about it. And like within like an hour, no joke, I get a message, like this random message from a guy I've never met or anything, just saying like how, you know, he appreciates me and all this stuff like that. I was just like, dude, like he has no idea the timing of the message.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, so it's like if you buy someone's food at a fast food restaurant or at a grocery store or surprise them with a new kayak, even whatever you do to help somebody one day, you never know how your time might be. Like people don't realize like you could be the savior at that moment without even knowing it, you know? So that's why I want to inspire people to do more of it, because I really think if people realize that we're all people, that we all have the same struggles, no matter what our status is, or, you know, celebrities who are millionaires, they obviously have depression and anxiety problems just like we do, just at a different, you know, it's all relative. But you never know doing something good for somebody, whether you think they need it or not, it could change everything, and it could change your life too. You know what I mean? Like I met Darius through this thing, and I consider him a really good friend now. Like I trust that guy. Like he's a good dude. And like, I think I gained, you know, he got a kayak out of it, but I got a new friend. So it was like,
awesome.
You know, you never know what's going to happen when you just be with each other, you know?
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah.
Sorry about the rant. No, dude.
I love it. I love it. It's such a good positive message. You know what I mean? And you never know when somebody may need that source of inspiration.
Want some water, Mike?
You want some water, yeah, Mike?
Want some water, buddy?
Here's some water, Mike.
It's poured.
It's like poured all over the computer screen.
You're like, oh, that didn't work.
So before we let you go, man, I got a couple random questions. You know, we've had you on a couple times, so we want to really dig in on Mike McKinstry.
Do we? Geez.
A little bit.
Jay's like, are you sure? I've known him for a long time. Are you sure?
I don't think we've asked this question before, but there's Darius in the comments right now. Mike is a real genuine dude.
Oh, what's up, Darius?
There you go, man. Right on. Bucket list episode. Anywhere for anything. What's it going to be?
Alaska, halibut. around the glaciers. It's something I've wanted to do for probably 15 years. And I honestly was going to start trying to plan it for this year about a year ago, and the pandemic hit, and then that just kind of blew everything out. But, you know, a lot of people think, like, you know, Panama is on my list, Australia, New Zealand, like all these, so many places. But right here in the United States, we have, I mean, Alaska is probably one of the most, I mean, I've never been there, but it's probably one of the most adventurous places in this country, in my opinion. And I think it would just be one of the coolest. So my main thing of my episode is I love sharing my experiences. I love like bringing people in, like they're there with me and showing them every part of it. And I think something like Alaska, like bringing someone to where like these glaciers are, like you can't even imagine what they look like in real life or what they feel like if you touch them, and seeing salmon or halibut out there. Like I can't imagine like a better visual to share with people and to, you know, spread the sport kind of thing. So that's my bucket for sure.
Nice. I like it. If there was one advancement in the kayaks or kayak fishing world, what would it be that you could do that hasn't already happened? If that makes sense.
So does it have to be like, I don't know how this could work though, but it's like, that's my first response, you know, my first response without thinking about it too much, I guess. It would be to find a way to make kayaks the way they are now, but make them lighter weight. To be able to have, you know, like the Feel Free Dorado is 125 pounds, to be able to find a way to make that not even less expensive or the same price, the same cost point, but having be able to shed half the weight of it somehow and still have the strength and stability, all stuff like that. I think the biggest holdback of bigger kayaks is the weight, is moving them around. I always tell people flat out, like, you know, like the Feel Free Dorado, for example, it's one of my favorite kayaks on the market. I love that boat. I've been using it for a couple of years. But I tell everybody on land, you're probably not going to like it that much. On the water, it'll be the best thing you've ever had. And I wish there wasn't that trade-off. I wish there was a way to do something about it, you know, half the weight and still have the stability and the comfort and the size and the speed without having to charge 10 grand for it, you know?
I like it. All right. You're in a tandem kayak. You can fish with one person, dead or alive. Who's going to be?
Abraham Lincoln.
Wow. All right.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
I thought, okay, what's your answer?
Okay. Jay's like, you know what? Me too.
Yeah. It's so weird. I mean, I was this close to Thomas Jefferson, but I mean.
You know, it's tough. So, I'm going to purposely name drop here. So I've gotten to fish with Kevin Van Dam before, and I probably learned more fishing with him than I've ever learned my entire life in the fishing world. And fishing with him I fished with him in a boat, which is kind of like a tandem in a way, but you have more room. So it'd probably be Kevin, because that dude is just like, he's one of the smartest people, not just in fishing in general, but like the fishing industry, you know. It'd be a toss up between him and Bill Dance, but the only reason why I say Bill Dance is because I don't want to fall out of the kayak, and I feel like if Bill Dance was in it, we'd fall out of it. So
everything's probably rigged to fall.
Yeah, if Bill Dance is there, I'll break the rods, and we'll fall off. We'll drop everything in the water. A snake's gonna fall out of the tree on us. You know, it'll be a good blooper reel. But yeah, I would say Kevin Van Dam, just because even if we didn't fish, the conversation, you know, like. I credit Kevin, and he doesn't even know this. Like I actually told him this like 2 years ago, and he had no idea this conversation had ever happened. But me and him had a conversation on a boat in 2013 about the industry and about how you can't really make a living just winning tournaments. You have to spread out and diversify and have a brand and be able to be marketable and all different avenues. That way you can afford to lose all the tournaments that you don't win. And when he told me all these things, it was probably like I said, he probably no idea he even said it. It was just like we were on the boat together just talking. It was no big deal. And that stuck with me. And I wouldn't have the career I have now if it wasn't for learning that really important piece of advice. So just the conversations that you could have with someone who's that intelligent in the industry, I think I could learn more just having a conversation with him on a tandem kayak than I would fishing, you know?
I like it.
I thought for sure that was Bill Dance.
Yeah,
well, Bill Dance, I thought for sure it was Abraham Lincoln. I was all right, this is cool. I like where this
Abraham,
is going.
Abraham Lincoln's going to be offended now, so I guess I should have stuck with that.
Yeah. He's rolling over in his grave, yeah. Dude. What'd you do, Mike?
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a little twist here. We're going to have a little twist here.
Okay.
You got one day to live. You could do anything. Money doesn't matter. What are you going to do?
So this sounds really weird, but I did mention I have severe anxiety issues. My biggest anxiety is medical anxiety. So I found out I need a surgery coming up soon here, and it scared the crap out of me. So I thought about like if I don't make it kind of thing. So like I actually have had this conversation recently. And my answer is the same as it was when I told Maddie what needs to happen if I don't make it. I want to start a charity or foundation to encourage people to pay it forward, to help kids get into outdoor activities, not just fishing, but just to get outdoors more, not be inside, not be stuck indoors, be able to get out and socialize and do outdoor adventures and team sports and fishing and kayaking and stuff like that too. But it's my life goal. Regardless if it's my last day alive or not, my main goal is to have some kind of foundation in place that we can raise funding to do events and, host summer camp activities and stuff. I'm actually doing it this year. I'm volunteering with a township I live in, and I'll be at all the kids' camps and seminars and all these cool things we're doing starting next month. Just cause I want to do it for fun, and get kids involved and stuff like that. So if I had one day and no money wasn't the issue, I would start a foundation like this and just be like, here's everything I want to happen out of it, and hopefully pass it on to somebody before my 24 hours are up.
I like it. That's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
I think that's the biggest thing we can do, I think, with our lives is leave something behind, you know?
Sure.
And I look at the guys I look up to, like Bill Dance, for example. Like I'm lucky enough to consider his family friends of mine. Like his daughters are friends of mine. I talk to them pretty often, and they have a foundation, obviously. And the work that they have done through their foundation has been so inspiring. And I'm like, man, I want to do that. You know, when Bill Dance passes, hopefully in, 40 more years, you know, he's got a great legacy to leave behind. You know, his name will live on, and his mission and his personality will live on through, his foundation that they do and through his brand. And I just hope that I get lucky enough. I hope we all get lucky enough to be able to do that, you know?
I love it. I love it, man. One last question.
Yep.
You just elected President of the United States. What's the first thing you want to find out? JFK assassination. Jeez, did we really land on the moon? Did we really land on the moon? Are there UFOs?
Yeah.
Like, so what are you, like what's the first thing you want to find out?
It's kind of like the National Treasure movie where he gets the Book of Secrets and gets to look at it for a minute.
Yeah.
I like that analogy better than being president, because I would never want to be a politician. I would never want to be like,
well, I wasn't trying to throw the political aspect in.
Like,
there.
Talk about having a target on your back. Jesus.
Yeah.
like, I get enough haters as it is. You think I need to be. Come on.
Cancel McKinstry.
No, honestly, so I'm like a huge history nerd. So, like, I've kind of thought about this before, too. And, like, yeah, Area 51 and JFK and all those things would be kind of cool to know, like, behind and, like, 9/11. Like, there's definitely a lot of things that the public will never know. But in all honesty, dude, I think the one thing that I would want to learn the most if I had access to, like, everything in the world like that, like, all the knowledge, all the secrets of government secrets, I think the one thing I'd want to learn about, and it sounds really stupid, because it's going to sound kind of dumb, but I'd want to learn more about how corporations are involved, I guess, and how like funding and taxes get distributed and like the whole financial part of government, I guess. I know nothing about it. And it's extremely hard to learn it as a citizen, because it's all like you only can know what they tell you. So,
sure.
And I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I don't believe 90% of the crap that I read. So I think if I was in that situation where I was the president, or if I was had privy to all that knowledge government has, I'd be like, all right, so how do corporations pay you? How do they get kickbacks? How does that work? How does that influence things? How do our taxes actually get distributed? Like, how is it all, like, how is everything actually working? Because it doesn't seem like it makes sense on this side of the aisle. You know, if you're looking at it from the outside, it doesn't seem like it all makes sense. So like, yeah, the JFK stuff would be cool. Area 51, obviously super cool, but all that will come out in time. But knowing that kind of stuff, I think is like extremely valuable.
Hi, Maddie.
Like, look, she totally is like running by. Yeah. But she's like, nope, I don't want to be on camera.
Well, Maddie, I think with that answer, Mike. That with that answer, Mike.
Here, come here. Come say hi real quick before we get off.
With that answer, Mike, you might get elected president. Yeah. Just saying, bro.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That was a very political answer.
I don't want to. I just wish that people were better people all the way up to the top, you know. I just wish that was the, you know, I've actually said this and I don't want to get political at all, trust me. I'm like I never want to get political. But I will say this though, if we are better people at this level, then people who are candidates to be elected as officials will be better people as well. But we have to start down here, not trying to change the people that are already up here, because they're not going to change. You know, you're not going to change an 80-year-old dude who's always been a politician his whole life, but we can change the 15-year-old kids that want to be politicians when they turn 20 or 25, or, you know, that want to be president when they turn 35. And then we can have better people to not have to worry about how our money is spent or how corporations are influencing government, or, you know what I mean? So, like, that's the part that I think is more important. Are you going to say hi, Maddie?
I don't think so.
Did you see her book by here?
Yeah, dude, she did not. She does not want to be. It's like, I'm not going to be on the internet again.
Madison.
Well, where can folks go and follow you and follow the TV show and all the good stuff you do, man?
So you can go to Instagram or Facebook, Basquatch Hunter TV on Facebook or Instagram, or on YouTube, and you can subscribe and follow and all those things. That's the best way to support what we do. And it's all free. Doesn't cost you anything to hit the like button or comment on something or subscribe or share something. Instagram has been my focus for the last 6 months. I've been doing a lot of like promotions and ads and stuff on Instagram, just trying to build it up. And I think we had 13,000 followers, I think, last week.
Nice.
So I try to do a lot of exclusive posts on Instagram that people can only see on Instagram. So that way you kind of get a word for being a follower there. But Facebook, any live videos I do obviously are exclusive on Facebook. So exclusive stuff on Facebook, and then YouTube is a place where you can kind of see a mix of everything. So
right on.
I'm also on TikTok, but it's not really fishing related. TikTok is like where I just do like whatever I feel like doing. So it's not always fishing.
Oh boy.
I don't do like.
We got to have a talk later, Mike. We got to have a talk later.
TikTok is where all the funniest people in the world go to like show off how funny they are. Trust me. Like, it's hilarious. Madison, come say hi.
Are you going through withdrawals, Jay?
No. No, I'm not.
Jay was on a TikTok tangent for a minute. And
hi.
What's up, kid?
This is Pedal and Finn Podcast. This is Brian, and I know I'm out of my studio, so it's small. That's Brian, and that's Jay.
Oh.
Jay has slept. This is not the
first time.
Jay has slept right where we're sitting.
That's right.
It does from here too. You know.
Like, oh man,
it's like.
Well, Mikey, we appreciate you coming on again, as always. Super good to talk to you, man. And I'm sure we'll talk soon. For the good folks.
Yeah, man.
Anytime.
And make sure everybody checks out that on the bottom there's a link. It was there. Now it says follow Mike. But not that link, but the link for the Shannon Williams thing. Everybody needs to go on there. I'm challenging everybody to go on there, donate $45, even if you're not going to fish in it or enter a fish. They're a great family, great people. And Shannon is one of the toughest women. Like, she's a badass, like 100%. But, you know, being tough doesn't help pay medical bills. So definitely support the event, everyone.
Absolutely. All right. Till next time, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddle.
All right.
Peace.
Thank you guys for having me.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dunked, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the 153anglers.com to place your order today.